Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Jay Binkley, JT Noah producing the operation.
No Fesco and Dusty. Dusty was here yesterday with Mac. Mac will be here tomorrow, but it'll be a different show. It'll be, I think, Mac and Drew early in the morning. Or is that it's Christmas week, right?
Okay. No, I think that's actually Thursday or Friday.
Oh, that's Friday. That's Friday. Right. That's Friday.
They're getting the next 2 days off. Yeah. So they're getting
Drew's here
weekend,
with Logan and at 10 to 2. But then Carrington's still here with Rob today.
Dude, Carrington's working all week, I think, except Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Carrington's here all week.
I think he's like you. He would want to work on Thanksgiving the way he's talking.
Yeah, it's fun. I was here last night till 9, so I literally did the show. I said, I'll talk to you guys tomorrow, literally.
I mean, hey, I was supposed to work tonight, but K-State basketball had other plans.
Isn't that weird how that happens?
Yeah, right?
Very weird how that happens. Well, I'll say this, JT. Everybody's kind of fired up over what happened with the Colts game, and that's a good thing. We talked a lot about the Colts-Chiefs game last night and how it kind of changed everybody's mood. It's a light week in Kansas City. You know, things are going well as far as, you know, you get off work early. Maybe you're done with work now. I know there's certainly a lot of people that basically have cashed this weekend. They didn't show up to work Monday, took it off, or maybe today's your last day at the office. You know, at most, maybe tomorrow. Maybe. I think it kind of goes down 50% each day, JT, where everybody goes to work, then down 50%, and then tomorrow you mean less than 50%. And how I know is just the roads and the traffic's on the roads. Of course, nobody hells up this time of the morning anyway, so I can't really judge it this morning, but I do feel like it starts to dissipate. But you have a Chiefs win in your back pocket over the Colts, and that makes Thanksgiving more fun.
Yeah, it does. And you talk about traffic. Me and you work the midday Friday. I think that's when it's going to be real busy for us. Like,
that's egg bowl time, buddy. There's some good football on Friday.
I'm telling you, thankfully for us, we're not working the early morning, because I think traffic would be at an all-time high if you had to come in at this time on Friday morning with Black Friday. I don't know if people still...
Oh, gosh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I don't even know if people still go to stores to Black Friday shop, or they just do it online.
I think a lot of people do it online.
Yeah, but I mean...
It seems like the stores are still pretty busy, though. For as many people as online shops, it sure seems like the intersections and the stores
are still pretty busy. Yeah, but I mean... Going from Sunday, I mean, I was at the game, working the press box, man. I tweeted out once Hunt fumbled. I said, man, that fumble might have just cost the Chiefs a playoff spot, and everything turned around. They just turned on a switch. The defense didn't. Yeah, they did. Got stops.
They flipped the switch, and it was fun to see. It's like, you got to knock them out, man. I've always said it's like a UFC fight. You know, they're getting pounded. Gets the ropes. Get knocked down. Then they stand up, and it's that one punch. You watch the fights. You see how it goes. Like, someone is getting destroyed in the ring, JT. And all of a sudden, for that minute right there, just kind of wakes up, punches the other guy, and wins the fight. I mean, even though, if it had been scored, you totally would have lost the fight. But that one punch, you hit back, and that's with the Chiefs. You got to knock them out. If they're against the ropes, you got to knock them out. And so far, the teams this year haven't knocked them out. They've had their chance, but they didn't knock him out. It was like this game here. Denver Broncos fans, they had a quandary of what to do because they needed the Chiefs to win. Like, they don't technically have the AFC West yet, but it's going to be theirs with that schedule they have. But they were rooting for the Chiefs, some of them, because the number one seed matters to them, to beat the Colts, knock them down, give them an L. So they're kind of going for the Chiefs. And then there was the people just that hated the Kansas City Chiefs, the respect, the rivalry. I could never root for the Chiefs, could never root for them at all. Just like Chiefs fans could never root for the Broncos and stuff like that. I sit there and look at that game, if I was a Broncos fan, and I would have wanted the Colts to win. Forget about the number one seed. Would you rather have the number one seed, or would you rather have the Chiefs out of the playoffs?
Chiefs out of
the
playoffs.
Exactly.
Easy.
Exactly. You see what happens when they get there. And the sample size is starting to grow. When you go to the AFC title game 7 straight years, when you go to Super Bowls 5 of the last 6 years, you know what the hell you're doing in the postseason. Mahomes got 17 playoff wins now. That's number 2 all time. Do you want the quarterback with number 2 all time postseason wins in the playoffs? Do you want the head coach that's number 2 all time in postseason wins? Only 3 behind Belichick. That's right. One good postseason, Andy Reid's number 1 all time. No one to look up to him in front of him. He's got 28. Belichick has 31 postseason wins. So do you want the second all-time winningest coach in the postseason with the second all-time winningest quarterback? But no, you don't. You want to see him lose. And when I heard these people, we're going to have to turn and go for the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend, that is not what you want. You don't want number 2 quarterback and number 2 coach all-time in the playoffs still. You want them in Cancun drinking pina coladas in playoff time. You don't want to see the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, no, you don't want to see them. You want to knock the Giant out when you can. You don't want to let them linger around because that's what people would do with the Patriots. Oh, hey, they're having a down year. Okay, they'll make the playoffs. They'll be a lower seed, and guess what? They would find a way to get to the Super Bowl.
What's Omar from the Wire say? Swing at the king, you best not miss.
Exactly. The Colts,
you're coming
missed.
To king, you best. Yeah, they missed.
They missed. They had their opportunity. Everyone was like, all right, here's the time the Colts can finally take them out. This is the final boss round, and they just couldn't do it. No. They went away from the recipe. They went away from their best player.
Yeah.
And if I'm a Colts fan, I'm wondering what the heck happened to Shiesty in the fourth quarter. Like, why did you go away from Jonathan Taylor?
Exactly. I don't know either. But I said last week, JT, when doing the night shows, and I even brought it up several times, Jonathan Taylor, as weird as this sound, did not scare me. I'm not saying this hindsight. I know it's 2020 when you look at things hindsight, but I said this before the game. So Jonathan Taylor does not scare me. And that sounds weird for the NFL's leading rusher not to scare you. He doesn't.
Yeah, you said that Friday night with us on After Hours.
Yeah, I said it Friday night with JT. And I said Daniel Jones doesn't scare me. Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones. People are making this guy up like a messiah. They think this guy is the new next coming of Joe Montana the way they're talking about him. Do we forget he sucked in New York? And he all of a sudden got good in Indianapolis. Oh, man, people love some Daniel Jones. You got Kyle freaking Brandt flying down from NFL Network to do a piece on Daniel Jones that they aired before this game. Listen, Daniel Jones is fine. Is he the end-all be-all that you would invest your team and say, this is our freaking dude? We want to send 2 first-round picks to the Jets for Sauce Gardner, which they needed to do because his mid-20s where their past defense was. But that is saying that this is our quarterback. Say Daniel Jones is our guy. Do you want to go with that guy every year and say, this is our guy? No, you don't want that. And Lou Anarumo, who's doing good things with their defense, of course, he confuses Patrick Mahomes. He was the one guy that I said I was worried about on the Colts. Not Jones, not Tyler Warren, not Jonathan Taylor. It was Lou Anarumo because he is that magic potion for Patrick Mahomes. They were 3-3 against each other going that game. And when he was with the Bengals, he slowed them down. Even though that defense sucked because they didn't have talent, but Lou Anarumo's good. And he might get a head coaching job. Hell, he might be the Giants' next head coach, which would be good. Get him out of the AFC.
I think he has a chance to be a next head coach, but I'm saying no to the Giants. Giants need an offensive-minded head coach with their team. So. Now,
you know, here's the thing, JT. You say that, and do you buy this? Because I've normally been with you. That's normally been the mindset. You pair an offensive mind with the quarterback, right? Because we've seen all these quarterbacks be fired. Like, remember Eberflus with Caleb Williams? That one's going to work. You know, you got to pair the offensive mind. The Titans did that, but they fired their head coach. But what's the perfect mixture? I don't know. You would think offensive mind with that quarterback, but there's so many cases the other way. It comes down to almost, it's got to be the right guy. Mike Vrabel is the only coach to have a team that had four wins before he got there, having eight straight wins. The only coach. Mike Vrabel, a defensive-minded guy, a defensive player in this league, is doing wonders with Drake May. So you would say in the outset, that doesn't work, defensive head coach with Drake May. It works. John Harbaugh works with Lamar Jackson. John Harbaugh's history is defense and special teams, but it's working with Lamar Jackson. McDonald in Seattle is working with Sam Darnold, right, for that team. McDonald's history is defensive coordinator of the Ravens. That's working. I just think, JT, obviously McVay with Stafford, that works pretty good. But normally I'd be with you. You want that offensive mind with that head coach. But, man, it sure helps if that offensive mind picks that quarterback, like Andy Reid did Patrick Mahomes, to pick a guy and say, I can work with this guy. Don't fit the square in a round hole. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that. Let me, because I know we talk about Dorsey. Was it Dorsey, was it Veach? Because Dorsey was a GM at the time. Was it Brett Veach? No, it was Andy Reid to pick Patrick Mahomes. Don't think any other way. It was Andy Reid to pick Patrick Mahomes. End of argument.
I mean, I ain't going to argue there with the Andy Reid segment, but I just, I feel like you're right. You just have to find the right head coach, whether it be defense or offense. They need help on both sides.
But usually we think offense, but also, honestly, it's seeming like the right guy. You know what I'm saying? It is. Now, Harbaugh is better with Herbert, I think, honestly, than, well, he had a defensive coordinator and John Staley with him. Back in the day, he's had three head coaches now. But Harbaugh might be the answer because it's a former NFL quarterback regardless. In the fourth quarter and overtime, the Chiefs outscored the Colts 14-0. Yards, 266-18. 266-18. First downs, 13 for the Chiefs, 0 for the Colts. You heard me, Colts. Daniel Jones, if you're done crying, because Colts fans have been crying like Lions fans. They think about the officiating. Tony Romo was against them. I was watching Tony Romo criticize Patrick Mahomes. He never does that, but he was talking about the reads he was making. Stuff like he actually criticized Mahomes. I think Tony Romo, listen, Chiefs fans were telling him to shut up. Colts fans were certainly telling him to shut up because they think he glosses Mahomes, which he does at times, but he must have got the memo because he's a tad more critical to Mahomes this time, but I don't care. But Daniel Jones, the Messiah, the guy people thought MVP earlier this season, he had a chance to do MVP-type things against the Chiefs. You get to the fourth quarter, 18 yards. You get to the fourth quarter in overtime, 0 first downs. Is that the guy you want to hang your hat on? Now, he's got a one-year contract with the Colts, but let me tell you this. They're going to back the Brinks truck up for him because quarterback is such a thin position in the NFL. The guys like Sam Darnold can go out and get big contracts once they leave Minnesota after he pees down his leg with the Vikings in the postseason.
But aren't they missing him, though, right now? I would say that.
Oh, they are. But he was bad in the postseason. He got bad at the end of the year.
I'm just saying.
He was bad when it mattered. You want a quarterback good when it matters. You want Patrick Mahomes to have 17 playoff wins.
But you
want
to get to where it matters. Yeah. And right now, they ain't going to get there with that guy, JJ.
No, you're not. But as Rich Eisen had on the show yesterday, you know, you think about the Chiefs and where they sit. It's go time, as he put it. The Chiefs, since 2019. They are 32-7, 821 winning percentage after week 12. So week 12 and on, 32-7. Number two, the Green Bay Packers, 30-9. Number three, the Buffalo Bills, 29-9. The difference between the top three, Chiefs have rings, they don't. They don't even have Super Bowl appearances for number two and three. But anyway, you got to hang your hat on Daniel Jones. But anyway, the Chiefs put out their estimated injury report yesterday, and I say estimated because they didn't practice, but they're by league rules, they have to put out an injury report. And what they do is put out what guys would have been. Would they have been full participant or limited, right? Patrick Mahomes was listed with a groin injury that he sustained in the fourth quarter of that game. But he was listed as full participant. So the estimated fake injury report, he's a full participant. Now, the one guy that's on it that I'm not shocked, obviously Worthy's on there, not shocked at all, but Rashee Rice was on there. And are you surprised at that at all? I'm not, because I saw Rashee Rice hurt that hamstring during the game, get pulled out of the game by the coaches, try to fight his way back into the game, gutting it out, wanted to get back in the game, and they held him out for a couple plays. He comes in, makes a couple catches, and goes straight down. I don't know if anybody else knows, Rashee Rice caught the ball, and he went straight down. After that big catch he had, he was protecting that hamstring, and I don't blame him. He was gutting it out playing, but he went straight down. And I was wondering if anybody noticed that. Because I didn't hear the questions to Andy Reid after the game. I mean, they talked about Trey Smith and things like that. But Rashee Rice is your meal ticket, and he is freaking hurt right now.
Yeah, it was. You could tell on the sidelines that he was moving around, trying to get that leg growing, moving. But when he went out on the field, no one really questioned it. We just thought he was doing a Tyler Lockett kind of thing where he didn't want to get a hit. And we kind of were like, okay, well, nothing was questioned about it after the game, like you said. But, I mean, estimated is an estimation. I still plan on him playing on Thursday.
No, I do too.
Trey Smith is the one I'm concerned if he doesn't play. I'm concerned that Trey does not play on Thursday.
He's not going to. The high ankle sprain, the low ankle sprain, you pretty much get used to him being out a couple games, which does affect the running game, which I'm going to have some running game numbers for you in a little bit that might surprise you. Just a teaser on that. The Chiefs this year actually averaging more yards per game running the football than at any point during Patrick Mahomes' tenure. You heard me right. This year, with the running back struggles and what we had, it was second going into the game, but after Kareem Hunt's performance, they're now number one in the history of Patrick Mahomes, the more running yards from running backs this season for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up next, though, some stats about how good this defense has been. Coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty. Jay Bankley with JT Noah producing the operation. No Fesco or Dusty this week. JT and I for a couple days. Carrington's back today, though. You get Logan coming up next with Drew. Drew Nixon's back as well. He'll be back here all week as well.
Yeah, Drew is here today and tomorrow. I don't know if he's here.
He's Friday. He's here, too,
yeah.
I think.
Mac, I know he was here yesterday, I should say. Yeah. Rob's here today.
Rob is.
Then he's off for the weekend. It was fun talking with Rob over. We were at the game Sunday, and he was just like, yeah, it's supposed to be a holiday Friday, but CDOT says we got to come work. And I said, I'm not coming in, so Nathan can take my spot.
CDOT likes talking about the games, and he'll be talking about the Cowboys game Friday, as we will as well. We'll be doing a show, JT, right during the Egg Bowl. We'll figure out what Lane Kiffin's doing after the game.
Yeah, do you think if they win in his post-game press conference, he's just going to be like, yeah, I'm leaving?
They put an ultimatum.
I'm saying like he says it before he even gets out.
I think he does. I think if he's going to stay, he tells them before the game to fire up the team. Hey, I'm staying.
If he was going to stay, he would have signed the contract on Friday.
You would think it's a weird deal, man. The one thing he didn't want to do is hurt his players.
Hey, the one thing they must have told him is stay off social media because he hasn't posted since Friday.
No, he hasn't. The one thing, too, is the committee can dock him. Because if you lose your quarterback or your coach...
They wouldn't dock him. They would dock the team.
They'll dock the team. They would 100%
dock
the team.
And it's way different to me than the Florida State situation when they lost their quarterback. Because the quarterback injury, I get it. He plays the game. Losing your quarterback, that's not on the team. That's on the coach being, I would say, I don't know, self-centered in a sense.
It's a bad situation for him. It's a bad situation how they do it. You know, the rules are the rules because they need to get there for the transfer portal. I get it. Like, I get the rules, but the rules suck. And the team could take a penalty. You know, Ole Miss had the most wins in their history. They never had more than 11 wins. They can get past that this year and have their best season ever in football. So we'll see about that decision later. Someone on a text line, J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Somebody asked me, JT, is it too early to drink at Coors Light? You usually drink them at night. And I said, no. You can't say you drink all day if you don't start early, right? I mean, you might have the day off. You probably have the day off.
The sun hasn't even came up, so how do you know it's morning? You never know. It still could be night.
Still could be night. But no, it's not too early to drink that Coors Light. You might have the day off. Like I said, you might have the day off, and you can't say you drink all day if you can't. Like at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, you know when people crack that first beer, and they say, oh, I drank all day. No, you didn't. Not unless you start drinking early.
Drunk all afternoon.
Yeah, you didn't drink all day. But regardless, Kansas City Chiefs defense against the run has been fantastic. What one running back down the last 30 games has over 100 yards? And it was James Cook. And I think, do you honestly think the Chiefs, they wanted to stop Josh Allen. That is who they wanted to stop. And obviously with the Colts, the guy you want to stop is Jonathan Taylor. It's not Daniel Jones, it's Jonathan Taylor.
That was my whole argument with the drive all week, was the drive was talking about how are you going to stop Jonathan Taylor when you couldn't stop James Cook? Well, the difference is the quarterback. You don't trust Daniel Jones to beat you. And guess what? Apparently the Colts thought they could use him to beat him because they only ran Jonathan Taylor one time on their last three drives in the fourth quarter. Like, it made no sense to me what they were doing on offense for the Colts when they had the 11-point lead. And that's why, going into the game, I felt more confident in stopping Jonathan Taylor than I did in James Cook. You were begging the Bills to beat you with the run game, and they did. So tip my cap to you. You beat us with James Cook, and you beat us really with Kincaid. But that was the whole difference in the story with the Colts and Bills is one has a really good quarterback that's a top-tier quarterback. The other has a quarterback that still needs to prove himself.
Yeah, 100%. But I think there's also something there, too, with this defense. No one's talking about this point, JT. It's not brought up at all. Everybody wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid going for it on fourth down, which has been good. Let's face it. The Chiefs have been good on fourth. They already have more fourth down attempts this year than they've had the history of Patrick Mahomes. So they already have going forward on fourth down more this year than they ever have.
Do you believe that has to do with them being behind more or them not trusting Bucker early on? Or do you have a reason of why they might be going for it more?
I think it's more of a trend in the NFL. Teams are doing it more. But they've already got 21 times they've gone for it on fourth down, which is insane. They're doing well. So they're number one in the NFL on going forward on fourth down and offensively. I mean, they have been unreal going forward on fourth down. But here's the thing, JT. They're even better on defense. They're number one in the NFL in stopping teams going forward on fourth down. I brought this up before. This trend continues. They keep getting better and better. It stayed at 23.5% the last couple of weeks for team success rate on fourth down. Because I heard Tony Romo talk about the Colts. Well, they should go for it. It's like fourth and three, then it's fourth and one. They should go for it instead of punt. The problem with that is, in previous years, that's what you wanted to do. Because if you look at Mahomes' career, the 7 years prior to this, it was 57% success rate for the defense going again, or for the offense going against the Chiefs' defense, 57%, meaning he was still sitting over on that sideline. Because they had better than a coin flip chance to get that first down. That's how you beat the Chiefs. You had to put points on the board by a touchdown, not a field goal. That's how you beat them, especially at Arrowhead Stadium, where they've won 17 of the last 18 games. But the memo's getting out. The Chiefs' defense is pretty damn good on fourth down. It's better than pretty damn good. It's number one in the NFL on fourth down. And teams haven't tried it lately. They just haven't done it. They're punting the football on fourth down. There are now 16 teams ahead of the Chiefs as far as attempts, because attempts do matter. How many times are you attempting on fourth down? Again, it's the most impressive stat for the Chiefs this year as far as shaving. 57% average down to 23.5 just this season for the fourth down defense. I keep bringing this up each and every week of how well they're doing, but twice in Mahomes' 7 years, they've led the NFL in attempts against them. And they've been around third a couple times, seventh. Basically, what I'm saying is this fourth down defense is very good for the Kansas City Chiefs. But 23.5% is less than 1 in 4 chance to get that first down. So when Tony Romo is talking and he tries to bring this analysis and this expert analysis, they got to go. Well, the stats would say no, Tony, because you're kind of slighting the Chiefs' fourth down defense that's 23.5%, meaning quarterbacks are going out there trying to go for it on fourth down, and they're not getting it, and Patrick Mahomes is getting out there in good field position. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs are number 2 in the NFL in offensive points per drive. So pick your poison, because your chances of you getting that first down are far, far less than what they've been the last several years. It's not even close.
Yeah, I mean, it's the defense just knows when to turn it on at the right time. And that's what makes Spags so special. I was hard on Spags last week. I've been hard on Spags all year about how he hasn't made in-game adjustments. And I thought, Sunday was one of his best games of the year. The way he had his team going, the way the team responded to, I would say, adversity, you could say, about how they were treated against Denver, I thought they did well. But it also, in a sense, you could say that the Colts did things that you just should not have done. Like that third down play in overtime, Bink, why are you running out of shotgun? That's an Andy Reid thing. What are we doing? Like, you have Jonathan Taylor. If you're going to run it, get under center. We've talked about it the last week.
We say the most under center runs themselves.
Exactly. The Chiefs ran the ball more than the Colts did, and the Colts had the lead. It makes no sense what was happening. And I think, you know how we talked about how Lou Anarumo gets into Reid's head? I think Spags got into Shiston's head on the Colts sideline. I think he got out of his game. I think that's what happened. We talked about Lou getting into Reed's head. I think it happened this week. Spags got into the offense of the Colts. So, yeah, that's where I stand with it, and I think Spags had a phenomenal game plan.
Indianapolis had 74 yards rushing. The Chiefs had 148. Again, in Mahomes' career, teams have been 66.7%, 51.6%, 65%, 61.3%, 57%, 52%, and this year 23.5%. So the memo is getting there, because they've been third in attempts against, then they went to seventh in attempts against, now they're 16th in attempts against. And as far as offense and the Chiefs going for it, yeah, they're 100% going for it. A lot more. You go back to Mahomes' first year, they went for it 15 times. The next year, 10 times. The next year, 16 times. The next year, 15 times. The next year, 12 times. Last year, they went for it 16 times. This year, they've gone for it 23 times. So they've already gone for it more on fourth down than they have in the history of the Kansas City Chiefs. But the key is 23.5% on fourth downs. The memo is getting there, and these guys have analytics, guys. They'll look at these things and say, well, should we go for it on fourth down or not? Because they're very good. This could be a 3-yard loss by Jonathan Taylor again. So, yeah, Tony Romo's right. In previous years, you have a 57% chance to get a fourth down against the Chiefs. It's not so fast this year, because it's 23.5%, which is much different from getting those first downs on the Chiefs, because then you're putting Patrick Mahomes and that offense back on the field. Yeah, they had a couple plays there. Obviously, the interception, and obviously the which is a gift to the Colts. Then the fumble, Kareem Hunt's second fumble he's ever had. But Kareem Hunt, he banned up in this game. 30 carries for him. Do you know his previous record was 29? Back in 2017, his rookie year, he had 2 games against Houston and Miami where he had 29 carries. He's had 27 before, but mostly it's been about 22 carries for the high water mark for Kareem. He had 30 in this game. Yeah, it was a 3.5-yard average, but he toughed it out, man. He toughed it out. They gave him the football. He got a career high in carries at 30 years old against the Colts. He manned up.
And everyone wants to talk about how he fumbled. And sure, you can say he fumbled at a crucial time. It's only his second career fumble.
Yeah, he does not have a fumbling problem.
Remember, the first fumble he had was his very first carry of his career in New England. And remember, he went off in that game as well. That's crazy, crazy fact. But Hunt, I think, deserves a lot of credit for what he did. I mean, at his age, carrying the ball that many times, and he still looked like he could go again. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds on a short week. not getting as much rest, but I think you still can. You got to run the ball against this defensive line of Dallas because now they got a defensive line that can get after the quarterback.
Do you agree with me, though, on the fourth down defense has been so good? The memo is starting to get there.
Oh, yeah.
When you
yeah.
look at the analytics, well, the Chiefs have actually been pretty good on fourth down. Maybe they've been better than pretty good. They're number one in the league.
The Chiefs' defense has always been good on fourth downs. They know when to buckle down. It's like almost, to me, I always say this, Bink.
They're a lot better this year than they ever have been, though, because they were 57% on average.
I always say this. The first drive of the game, I always let Spags do whatever he wants. You know the team's probably going to score. You let it happen. You brush it off. Spags kind of gets a feel for everything, and then he turns it on. And it is wild to me how this year their defense is better on fourth down when you would think they would be lower because teams aren't going for it as much on fourth down because of the way the Chiefs have played. And yet it's the different.
It's down to 16 teams now ahead of them as far as attempts, right? It was third, JT, because teams are still doing it. And then it went to seventh. And then it went to 16th, tied for 16th as far as teams going forward. So the memo was getting out because early on they were. But it's under-talked about. I don't think Spags has been asked about it. I don't think Andy Reid was asked about it once a couple weeks ago. Barely asked about it.
Yeah, no, no one's asking him about it at all.
No, but this fourth down defense is special for the Chiefs where teams are afraid to do it, and it's putting his offense back on the field in some advantageous positions. But regardless, the Chiefs have a 66% chance now to make the postseason. Yes, they did slip in the standings. They slipped to 10th. But all of that works itself out when you have the conference record. It works itself out. You get Houston Texans at home, so you can get the head-to-head against the Texans. They, by the way, had a nice game against Buffalo where they had 8 sacks. But let's not forget, they only beat Tennessee by 3 points the week before. Davis Mills, 3-0, his quarterback is starting for the team. But they have struggled on offense. The defense is fine. The defense has been good all year. The Rams now have passed them in points per game against.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think Texans might have the best defense in the AFC.
And they've had it all year. It's not like some mystery. Right, right. And all of a sudden, people are like, oh, this defense is pretty good. No, the defense has been great all year.
Will Anderson and the guy from Minnesota they brought over last year, I can't think of his name, Danielle Hunter, they can get after the quarterback. And that's what's scary when you want to face it, when you face a team like Houston, because you know the Chiefs, not just the Chiefs because of their offensive line, but because I still think sometimes, even with how good, and it's not great, but good the offensive line is this year compared to last year, Mahomes gets happy feet, and he leaves the pocket a little early. And I think that could happen in the Houston game.
Denver still leads the way with 49 sacks. Cleveland number two with 42 because of what Myles Garrett's been doing, which is insane.
They had 10 sacks.
Yeah, he's going to break the sack record. He's going to end up with 29. He's going to break sack record.
They did so much dirty work to the Raiders, they fired Chip Kelly before Sunday night.
Believe it or not, Atlanta, with all their attention in the draft to getting edge rushers, they stay number three.
Wow.
Yeah. Houston is sixth because they're behind Atlanta, Seattle, and Pitt. They have only 33. And 8 of those came against Buffalo.
Yeah, but I mean, you think.
But they've been good at points against.
You think about it. Look how many teams in the NFC get after the quarterback. You named, I think you said they're sixth, you said Houston is?
They're sixth in sacks right now.
Right, yeah. And it sounded like you said 4 NFC teams before you even got to the Houston Texans. So it's like the NFC has the sack teams.
In points against, they're number 2 now. The Rams are at 16.3. Houston's at 16.5. So the Rams passed them last night or this weekend on the primetime game when they played Tampa and they sucked.
And Tampa lost Baker in the first half.
Yeah, but they're sixth in sacks with 33.
Wow.
Houston. But it does. They put pressure on the quarterback, so it's a big difference. They do put pressure, and they are number 2 in points against. A very good defense. It's going to be, again, we looked at last week being the must-win against the Broncos for the division, and then clearly this became the must-win game against the Colts.
Every week is a must-win game now.
Dallas technically isn't because it's an NFC game on Thanksgiving. You want to win it, but it's not the end of the world if you don't.
I'll say this.
But you got to win those home games against Houston, the Chargers, and the Broncos. But the Broncos game is on Christmas night. Broncos might have it all wrapped up by then.
I'll say this. I think every week is a must-win game in this sense. You don't have the tiebreaker over Jacksonville or Buffalo. And that's what worries you the most, or worries me at the most as a Chiefs fan, is this. You don't control your own destiny, it feels like, right now, because of what you have let happen in the past. Jacksonville gets the Colts 2 more times, but the Colts seem like they could go down because we talk about Sam Darnold going down last year at the end of the year. Does that happen to Daniel Jones and Jacksonville takes advantage of having them late in the year twice?
So yes, Jacksonville does have the Colts twice more at home and on the road. They also have the Titans twice more. So Jacksonville's got Tennessee twice more at home and on the road. They also have the Jets at home. A very favorable game for them. And they're at Denver. So that's a good get when they take a loss. Obviously, be rooting for the Broncos in that situation. But the Colts twice, New York, and the Titans in the Colts twice. But at least they get the Colts at home one of those. But hopefully the Colts can step up and beat them at that point. I'm not going to put trust in that, though.
Who do you have? Who do you trust more to fall off? Jacksonville or Buffalo, if you had to pick one that the Chiefs would overtake?
Jacksonville.
Okay.
Despite that run defense for Buffalo, they still have Josh Allen. But yeah, they become a concern because before it was all Jacksonville, Jacksonville, Jacksonville. Now it becomes Buffalo because Buffalo just miring around there with seven wins. All of a sudden they have the tiebreaker against the Kansas City Chiefs and they become an equation.
Yeah, and they got the Steelers this week, which the Steelers have looked, and if, especially if they don't have Aaron Rodgers, the Steelers, I mean, that game should be a Buffalo win.
Now, Houston's a team, like I said, you get a chance to take care of them at home. Think about Houston's schedule. They're at Indy this week, then at the Chiefs the next week, and that's a Sunday night game. So you got Indy and Kansas City on the road for them.
And the Chiefs will have a mini bye because they play on Thursday.
Mini bye. But then they have a couple of gimmies. They have Arizona and the Raiders at home.
And don't sleep on Jacoby Brissett, man. The Cardinals are feisty.
But the Raiders you can sleep on. Oh, you can snooze on that crap.
Dude, yeah. Dude, the Raiders, good Lord.
And then they're at L.A. and then have the Colts at home.
So L.A. as in the Chargers?
Chargers, okay. Yeah.
I was assuming it was the Chargers.
Which are up and down, especially since Alt's hurt for the year. Slater was gone for the year from the beginning, back from before training camp. Their left tackle. So Alt moves over there, and now he's hurt. He's got the high ankle twice. He's shelled for the year. Again, high ankles, rough injury. They're not easy
especially
to come through.
Especially for big men.
Yeah, not easy to come through. But I think people are sleeping on this Chiefs fourth down defense. I don't think it's been a topic now, but it's clear. It was there. And Tony Romo didn't do his homework. He likes to. He likes to know everything the teams are doing. But he doesn't know when he kept calling for the Colts to go for it on fourth down. Because the Chiefs are saying three out of four times, they're going to stop you. And Shane Steichen didn't want to take that chance because the memo was not there. For the Chiefs going from first to third to now 16th to 17th, tied for 16th in the NFL in attempts against, that means the memo is getting out. That means the memo is getting out loud and clear. The Chiefs defense pretty damn good on fourth downs. You don't want to mess with it. But the bottom line is, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. Albert Breer said this on Sports Illustrated. He also does Monday Morning Quarterback and has a column out. You know, fear the Chiefs.
This is why you don't give up on the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is a battle-hardened team. It's a tough team. As much as has gone wrong for them over the course of the first 3 months of the season, they have this other gear. And you saw it with Rashi Rice today. You saw it with the toughness of Kareem Hunt. You saw it with the defense getting stops when they needed to get stops. They've been in these high leverage situations before. Heart of a champion, the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't give up on them.
And they do have the heart of a champion. And it's good to see people say this now. Because the national media didn't know what to say. Because early in the season, they wanted to bury him. And then all of a sudden, they started winning. And then all of a sudden, the Chiefs are back. Then all of a sudden, they wanted to bury him again. And then everybody picked the Colts. Oh, the Colts go out and hammer the Chiefs. Not just beat the Chiefs, but hammer the Chiefs. This came from several sources. Pretty high up in the NFL, they're going to hammer the Chiefs. Didn't happen. They melted down. They peed their pants in the fourth quarter in overtime. Didn't happen at all.
They were hammering us until the fourth quarter, and then they're like, you know what? Let's take it off and forget how to play football.
But the Chiefs are stopping themselves. And again, nobody can stop the Chiefs more than they can stop themselves. That's the thing about it.
Well, like, a lot of teams can say that.
But beating the Chiefs, you got to let them – like, the Chiefs are doing things uncharacteristic to them. Fourth quarter, second half, melting down. Timely mistakes. You know, making mistakes in the offensive line, a timely hold, an interception here and there. They're hurting themselves. And they haven't been hammered. I mean, they lost by six. They lost by seven. They lost by three. They lost by three. I mean, this is how the Chiefs go. Nobody's going out and hammering them. Mahomes only has four games in his whole career, 144 starts, where he's been beat by more than one score. That's it. In the regular season, four.
Sometimes the score can be deceiving. Like, you could say this week, the Chiefs hammered the Colts, but let them stay around with the two costly turnovers. The one that happened inside your own 10-yard line that gave them a walk-in touchdown, and the other happened on a drive that you were in the red zone and you fumbled. Last week, I would say the Broncos kind of were, you could say it, they were just, they put it on the Chiefs. I get the score was close, but you felt like the Broncos were the better team throughout that whole game.
That's why I've always said the 25 Broncos are the 24 Chiefs.
Right, exactly.
They just are. Bo Nix, five fourth-quarter comebacks now, right? The Chiefs stopped him from throwing a touchdown pass. He actually had 18 games straight where he had a touchdown pass going in that game. But they did what they did. They linger around, they hang around, they beat you at the end. It's very, very, very similar to what the Chiefs were in 24.
And a big thing about that Broncos win last week for the Broncos was it was like a recipe, like you said, about the Chiefs last year because they used special teams to their advantage. It was the special teams that kind of failed the Chiefs in that game where you gave up a big punt return.
Failed them all year.
Well, right. I mean, like I saw Drew post this on Sunday. He thought he was watching the Missouri Tigers play as the Kansas City Chiefs. I told Rob that like 5 minutes before. I'm like, why am I watching the same team play twice?
And that was brutal. That was a brutal offensive performance against Oakland. But I will say this. Hardy only had, 57, 58 yards? He had 300 the week before. But Oklahoma's run defense is fourth in the country. Oh, they're not so third. Good. They're very good.
And guess what? Special teams for Mizzou has sucked all year.
And it's the same with the Chiefs. Yeah, they can get a big return. They can bring in Damian Pierce and he can have a big return. But you think it's coming back with a Jack Cochran hold, something like that? Chances are yes.
I mean, that is a free bingo card on your bingo card now. That free space, you know, special teams penalty is free every Sunday or every Chiefs game day.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. And Damian Pierce doesn't have really the punt returns, but he's got the kickoff returns. He does have 20 kickoff returns in his history.
Why do you think they signed Damian Pierce? Like, because it sounds like Pacheco's coming back.
Just extra body in the backfield so they're not elevating Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Elijah Mitchell like they've done in games. Have that extra body. But I wouldn't expect anything, especially offensively, right off the bat because you got to get pass protections down for Mahomes. But keep in mind, other teams wanted him. You saw the report yesterday from Aaron Wilson.
The Eagles were trying to get him hard.
They tried to trade for him, actually, in the trade line. They said no. The Broncos wanted him, obviously, because Dobbins is hurt for the year. The Chargers had wanted him. He had many teams that actually wanted him, so I do feel he'll get the ball, but he's got to understand the offense first. It's not easy just to grab somebody and say, go. You're in Andy Reid's offense. Go. Let's see the most from me. But returning-wise, I could expect more from him, but I'm always worried about a kickoff return for a touchdown and all of a sudden comes back because of all, you're always holding your breath and looking for the flag when the Chiefs special teams are involved. You're always worried about that. But anyway, coming up next, the complaining continues from the Colts, and it's crazy. Do we actually like the NFL officials? I guess we do at this point. I know Kansas City fans don't. I mean, screw them. Talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty. Jay Binkley, JT Noah producing the operation. 913. Why no one talking about the Chiefs, how they're doing compared to teams that lose the Super Bowl in the prior year. Yeah, I'll get into that. I'll get into just a few minutes. I've talked about this quite a bit at night on After Hours. May not listen or whatever. I understand. But anyway, we'll get into that coming up about 7:15 or so, how other teams are doing once they've been to the big dance, once they have the expectations, once teams are looking for them, once teams have the bullseye on their back, how are they doing? It's not so well. But the complaining is there. And maybe it's the algorithm you have on social media when you play a team, because clearly the Lions, JT, they complained that whole week, basically. Do you remember that? The Lions just never got over that. And eventually you're like, you know, I understand the Brian Branch is suspended. You've got to get over at some point. Hell, Jordy Nelson, former K-State legend, former Packer, he's on the committee by the NFL to hear cases. He suspended him against the Bucs game, that primetime game they had. But they whined about it the whole game. It's like eventually you're like, guys, you got to turn the page. You lost the game. Don't you feel like the Colts fans are doing this? A lot more than the Colts. The Colts got beat, and they want to talk about the officiating. This is the way it is now. If teams get beat by the Chiefs, it's the officials.
Well, I've seen a lot that says the officials, but I've also seen a lot that say, hey, yeah, the officials were bad, but it's not the reason we lost. Like, I've seen it a lot.
I hope so.
That's why I haven't been as harsh on the Colts fans as I have with the Lions fans, because a lot of the Colts fans are understanding, hey, we lost this game. Sure, the refs were bad. Because let's be real, the refs were bad on both sides.
On both sides.
On both sides. And so they understand that the refs were bad, but they also understand that they lost this game. They had the game in the bag, and they lost it.
And I'll remind people, the refs suck anyway. There are bad calls every game. Watch every game. And I don't think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people just see what the last thing that was said, and that's what they go with. Oh, the refs must be favoring Kansas City. I've seen the memes with, you know, the refs wearing Chiefs gear and stuff like that. I've seen the memes, so it must be the Chiefs cheat, even though they don't. I mean, just a couple years ago, they had 137 penalties, 12 more any other team in the NFL. You know where the Chiefs sit now? They're ninth in the NFL in penalty yards. They're top half in penalties, ninth in penalty yards. So, yes, they are getting penalized. But, and it's people that covered the team. It was more than just the fans. People covered the team are complaining about the officiating. And, yes, there's a phantom face mask on Juwan Taylor. He had his hands up by the helmet. Never grabbed that face mask.
It was more of a hold.
It was more of a hold, but it wasn't even a hold. I don't think it was a hold. I think it was a clean play. They'll say it's a hold. I get it. You can't put your head up, your hand up by the head. I get it. They're going to call it. But here's the thing. The announcers were wrong. They said Andy Reid could have challenged it. That's 100% incorrect. He cannot challenge face mask calls.
Yeah, we were so confused in the press box when we started reading that. We were like, wait, what?
Rule 9, the NFL's rule book, states that replay assist in New York has to be the one. They can now do it. 2025, those can be reviewed. But the review has to come from New York, replay assist. And they used replay assist in this game because a play that happened that people don't realize, it saved the Colts actually a timeout.
Yeah, the Noah Gray one?
Yeah, Noah Gray caught the ball, and he caught it with his feet and got knocked out. And Shane Steichen was going to challenge it. Replay assist comes in from New York and says, no, he caught the ball. So it saved Shane Steichen a timeout. He didn't have to challenge it and lose the challenge because he would have lost it. So it actually helped the Colts by the replay assist in that game. Didn't help the Chiefs get a touchdown from Kelsey there because they called it back because of that face mask on Juwan Taylor that didn't exist. But Andy Reid could not have challenged that. So get that out of your mind. Andy Reid couldn't have challenged it. It had to come from replay assist. If you have a problem with them, that's fine. But that's clearly where the call came from, not the Kansas City Chiefs. But the other thing, too, is when Mahomes was being tackled by their defense, people are saying, or Daniel Jones was, excuse me, they're saying, well, it would have been a penalty if that happened to Mahomes. Which defenders, and I hate the rule, where defenders can't land on the quarterback.
Right, yeah, I didn't like that.
You can't do anything with your body. Like, you're going to make a tackle. Like, they're stuck.
I didn't like the first roughing the passer called that was against the Colts where Mahomes kind of jumped in the air and threw it. I thought that wasn't a penalty. I thought that was a weaker one. Now, the second one where they went low for the legs, now that's obviously a penalty. You can't go below.
But here's the thing. All the teams know they're going to call it, and defenders know it. But here's the thing. People don't realize this happened to Chris Jones. Remember against Derek Carr?
I was about to say, Derek Carr and those Raiders.
Yeah, it happened against Derek Carr, and he got the football from him, and it was a great play by Chris Jones, the defense. They called a penalty on Chris Jones for putting his body down like Derek Carr, and after the game, Derek Carr's like, well, what else was he going to do? So even Derek Carr kind of took Chris Jones' side saying, what was he going to do? He didn't hurt me at all. It's just how he laid, but you're that big, you're going to lay. But Colts fans don't realize this has happened against the Chiefs, but they don't care to know facts. Like, facts don't matter. They want the false narratives that the penalties always go against everybody else and not the Chiefs. Not true. Because it's happened against the Chiefs.
I mean,
and it's happened against Chris Jones.
I know it didn't gain many yards, but that even that offensive pass interference on Travis Kelce, like, that one, I couldn't believe people were arguing, oh, that's OPI. I'm like, that is not OPI.
He didn't pick him.
They picked each other in a sense. It was...
He didn't do crap.
Yeah. And I thought there was another bad OPI called that was in the Patriots game. I was watching a little bit on Red Zone while at the game. I had Red Zone on the phone. There was a OPI called in the end zone, and Mac Collins is running a regular route, and they just run into each other, and they called offensive pass interference. That would have been a touchdown. I'm like, guys, you want to go see bad officiating? Just look around the whole NFL. There's going to be bad calls called everywhere.
There's going to be bad calls everywhere, and there were. But again, the officials are bad. The officials are 100% bad in what they do. And it's not just in the NFL. It's in college football as well, because these guys aren't full-time officials. And we'll get into that later when I tell you what some of these guys do for their regular careers and how they should be just focusing on being an NFL ref or let somebody else do it. They're paid handsomely to do it, be a full-time ref, or just go off somewhere else and be a lawyer, sales manager, whatever that they do, which they do on the offseason when they're not a refereeing. Go ahead and leave. There's enough people that want those jobs. But they got to fix it up. But again, the penalties and the complaining against the Chiefs, it doesn't make sense, people. When they're ninth in penalty yards, when a couple years ago they had 137 penalties and the Broncos were number two with 125, it doesn't fit the narrative that officials are always looking for the Chiefs. It didn't fit the narrative when Dee Ford was offsides against the Patriots and Tom Brady. It didn't fit that narrative that the NFL overtime rules were different then.
It didn't fit the rule with Kadarius Toney in the offsides.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. The Kadarius Toney play. But the rules weren't changed because of the Chiefs. It was changed because Josh Allen, a few years later, had a chance in overtime and didn't get his chance to score like Mahomes did. So everybody changed the rule because of little Joshy and the Buffalo Bills.
And now they have it in the regular season now where both teams even get a shot even after a touchdown.
And that was brought to by Philadelphia Eagles, not the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are often blamed for that.
I didn't know it was by the Eagles.
Yeah, but it's regular season now too, not just postseason. But again, everybody wants to blame the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have been the victim of this when Tom Brady got the ball in overtime in the AFC title game and Patrick Mahomes didn't get the ball. See, it happens to Kansas City as well. But people don't care to understand that. Like, they don't care to understand the rules. They just go by the false narratives. Oh, it must be the Chiefs' fault. Oh, it's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, it's got to be Kansas City and what they're doing. No, this is the false narrative that keeps perpetuating itself. And you know the announcers aren't doing a great job with it either, like the national announcers, because they'll keep bringing it up. Oh, they got away with the one there. Be fair about it. At least Tony Romo said, that's the worst call I've ever seen on Kelce. At least they were there. But typically, Nance, any of them, they'll blame the Chiefs. The one guy that doesn't really do it much is Tirico. Like, he doesn't blame the Chiefs for penalties because I think they understand where their bread is buttered.
Well, he's got Chris Collinsworth doing it for him.
Yeah, I think they understand where their bread is buttered because I'll get into it. The Chiefs are NFL ratings, 100%, and they're going to blow the ratings out the door on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys.
I would say I figured Colts fans were going to be a little feisty when they got the call for illegal formation on their tackle, and Juwan Taylor, I think, didn't get a single one. And so when your tackle gets one, but Juwan Taylor doesn't, you knew the Colts fans were going to be feisty about penalties.
I was concerned about Juwan Taylor in this game because they called it on Braden Smith.
That's what I'm saying, drive.
Yeah, and it really wasn't, to be honest with you.
I know.
And Braden Smith's a local kid. I don't know if people really, he went to Lake of the South, local kid from Kansas City. And they called on him like, oh, man, if they're calling that on Braden Smith, Juwan Taylor's going to have a crap one of these.
I'm going to say, it's going to buckle up, boys. It's going to be a long day.
You know, the Chiefs coaching staff had to get to him at some point saying, listen, Juwan, obviously they're looking for this penalty because they just called on Braden Smith, so they're going to be watching you like a hawk.
Well, in the fourth quarter, Shison was pointing to the ref and, like, jumping up, hey, he's not there, and they were not throwing it.
And he's been better at home than on the road because it's quieter. When they're out there on offense, it's quieter at Arrowhead Stadium, so he's not doing it as much because he can hear the snap counts. But he needs to be sitting there and looking at the snap counts, but on the road, it's very loud. But at home at Arrowhead Stadium, it's much different. That's why he doesn't jump off. Well, I mentioned Thursday and what it's going to be ratings-wise for the Kansas City Chiefs against the Cowboys. It's going to be insane. We'll discuss that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help, you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.